That the following tape program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply. It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, 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 welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. Just want to mention before we start the show, I've been saying this the past few days, want to remind everybody that Muscle Mitch over at Orbit Nutrition has daily specials. And because they're daily specials, you have to check back every day to see what's going on. He blows out different products. In fact, why don't you email him using the message portion of the Orbit Nutrition website and tell him what you want to be in the daily special. There's an idea. And then maybe he'll add it to his list, okay? So go to orbitnutrition.com and check out the daily deals. Look for the link and take advantage of them. My next guest has been on the show so many times now that I should just have a recording that says, welcome back, Anthony Roberts. How you doing, Anthony?
Good. How are you, Carl?
Great, great. We should also say that Anthony may need to pay attention to something at his location during the interview for a couple minutes. And if that happens, we're going to just take a quick break and come back and pick up the interview. But he had something that was preordained to occur when he agreed to do the interview. I appreciate you being on the air today with us, by the way. All right. So, first of all, when it comes to football, basketball, and even to some degree baseball, I'm like a chick. I really don't know a lot about organized sports. However, I know that you have coached and you have played rugby on some very, very high levels and so on. And you seem to have turned your interest recently towards the NFL and college football. Why all of a sudden have you changed and are you looking at that?
Well, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, you always sort of look at different sports and try and figure stuff out. I mean, I know just as an example, you know, with rugby, a lot of the top, you know, kickers, guys who kick goals, which is similar to, you know, how it's kicked in American football, you know, they'll bring on a soccer coach, you know, to refine their performance. So you see a lot more, you know, crossover. So I've been looking at, you know, at different things in American football, which traditionally I've kind of left alone, because it's so, the sport itself, you know, as compared to a lot of the more, what I call open sports, you know, like soccer, like rugby, Australian rules football, there's a lot more free-flowing stuff going on. People are doing, you know, multiple things at once. The situation is, you know, evolving. American football, by position, is almost like a bunch of different sports being played at the same time.
Yeah, that's, you know what, that's a great observation. I never thought of it that way, but you're right.
Well, look at, okay, if you took the pads off, you know, and just took two linemen, that's sumo wrestling.
Right, right.
I mean, essentially, it's, you know, two guys crashing into each other, different goals, you know, but it's the same skill set, you know, from what I see, and that's got nothing to do with what a wide receiver does at all. There's no carryover in their skill sets.
Right.
It's so specialized that it's really difficult to say, well, this is an effective strength training program for an American football player.
Okay. Now, you recently published in your blog, which people can go to anthonyroberts.info if you want to read this stuff. It's two really well-written articles. You recently published in your blog two things that kind of expose some flaws, almost, in the way football players are trained for the sport, one of them on the college level and one on the NFL level. What were your observations?
Well, a study came out of the college level, and basically it looked at, you know, Division III, you know, football team, and while they got stronger during their career, They improved, you know, their vertical jump. They got stronger. They really didn't get more agile or faster.
Now, when you say stronger, this is quantifying them like through their bench press, their squat.
Bench press and squat.
Yeah, okay.
They really didn't get, faster, which is odd because that would show, you know, everyone talks about functional strength and a lot of coaches, myself included, like hate the term at this point.
Right.
But, you know, it shows that they didn't develop, like, functional strength, at least, you know, in that area. They improved their squat but didn't improve their, you know, sprint speed. And that's interesting because another study, and I think this one was done on footballers, as they would call them in the UK.
Which is really more rugby, right?
No, like soccer.
Oh, okay. Footballers, right, okay.
They did a study on, you know, shuttle sprinting, so 10 meters, you know, forward and then
10
turn
meters
around
back.
10 meters
yeah,
back.
Yeah, back and forth between the line usually or something like that, right?
Yeah. So they did a study. They took two groups, and basically one group did, you know, mostly that, and the other group did mostly explosive strength training. And what they found was that they both got faster. Pretty much evenly, the difference was that the guys who ran the 10-meter repeats, or 20-meter repeats it would really be, the guys who ran those got better at the transition. So in other words, they got better at tagging the line and going back. They spent less time stutter-stepping before they got there. They were much more fluid.
Yeah.
That was really the only difference.
And that makes sense. It makes sense because they're doing it over and over again. So it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, they just got better at transitions, whereas the actual speed for both groups got, you know, improved. So it strikes me as very odd that you could train a group of players for 4 or 5 years in the case of like a redshirt freshman and not make them faster, but make them squat more. I mean, that means their body weight's going up sort of disproportionately. It just seems like very, very counterintuitive. And the study actually lasted 8 years, so it got two groups.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty good, but they didn't change what they were doing and actually make their players faster over 8 years.
Well, you're right. I understand. I mean, the fact that the study was over 8 years makes it more relevant. Makes it
very valuable. Yeah,
right,
it's a very valuable study. I mean, and like I said, the conclusion drawn I thought was, you know, a bit hubristic. It said, therefore we conclude, you know, that Division III football players, can't improve their speed or something to that effect.
They're saying they can't improve their speed. Isn't it more like they're not training them to improve their speed?
Yeah, I mean, I think that would be, because if you look across the board at other sports, like why would it be that D3 football players are unable to get faster? Across the board, you take elite level, you know, athletes of the same age, like, you know, junior soccer players, whatever.
Right.
And they're getting faster. So it's kind of an odd thing to say. I mean, the conclusion I would think would be we're not making these kids faster.
I was just going to say we're not doing the right things to elicit these changes. And obviously, speed should be a bigger factor in a sport like football than squat strength and bench press, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that segues, you know, into the NFL Combine. Really, the NFL Combine, for people who don't know what that is, before the draft each year, they take the top players, you know, from all the different universities, the guys who are going to play in the NFL. It's just a question of where they're going to be selected in the draft, you know, what round and what position.
Right.
They take them, and they put them through a battery of physical tests. So there's a vertical jump. There's some agility testing. A couple different types. There's a 40-yard dash, and there's a bench press, which is 225 for the most you can do, which is a very odd way to measure someone's strength.
Yeah, because that shows more. That would give you a better snapshot of their muscular
endurance. So localized muscular endurance.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, because you know it's. If we look at the idea of localized muscular endurance, it's not stamina. It's not, you don't get winded doing 225 for max reps. You fatigue in the area you're training. So is upper body localized muscular endurance a predicator of success in the NFL?
The NFL describes the combine as part track meet, part grammar school fitness test. What is the combine designed to weed out the weak or predict the winners?
If it's designed to predict, you know, who's going to do well in the NFL, it's very poor. The only statistical relevance, and there was a study done on this, I have it in my blog, there's a study done, and they looked at, you know, all the different areas tested, all the different positions, you know, players who have gone through it, and how they fared in the NFL. Fast running backs, the guys who do well on the 40, they do well in the NFL. Other than that, it's just a crapshoot. It's a bunch of stuff that scouts make you do.
Right.
There's no correlation. So the lineman who benches 225 for 40 reps isn't necessarily going to do better than whoever.
And they have, the NFL has a list of featured combine videos. They have the best of the bench press. They have the fastest 40s. They have, combine standouts and highlights of the 2011 combine. So they look at the combine as a place where their athletes can kind of show off what they're made of. But what you're saying is it really doesn't matter how they do in the combine. It doesn't necessarily translate to those guys being standouts on the field. Is it possible for a guy, and or have you ever seen or do you know of an athlete who was a star at the combines but was a blank during the next that season?
Tony Mandarich comes to mind.
Okay. All right. So there you go. All right.
Yeah, he was like, I think, one of the biggest flops in the history of the NFL, you know?
And he did well in the combines.
Yeah, he did really well in the combine.
You know what the combines remind me of, Anthony? The Fitzsig Tipton annual yearling sales up at Saratoga, New York, when they parade these yearlings around who have amazing bloodlines, and people drop a half a mil, a quarter mil, $750,000 on some of these horses, and a lot of them they never make a start. They don't even start. A lot of them never get to the gate, and the ones that get to the gate never win any races. Kind of like the combines.
Yeah.
All right, look, let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we'll pick it up with Anthony Roberts. You can learn more about Anthony Roberts by visiting his amazingly informative blog. The guy's always changing. He's like the chameleon. He's always changing his perspectives on what he's writing about. Go to anthonyroberts.info. We'll be right back. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right, buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter, urethane series power blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power Block, the world's best dumbbell.
Your shaker bottle is the most important tool in meal planning. The convenience in being able to take a ready-to-drink meal on the road is a necessity. Too often, our shaker bottle backfires on us, making what should be a convenience a disaster. Shaker Pro is the only shaker bottle in the world with a separate chamber to keep your protein powder dry until you're ready to mix it. Shaker Pro's patented design ensures that all of your powders will blend completely. Shaker Pro is BPA-free. Go to 4sportlife.com today. That's the number 4, sportlife.com. Supplements.com.
When you take real performance-enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscles N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at needtobuildmuscle.com.
I've never felt a pump from taking a supplement. That's until I tried creatine nitrate from APS Nutrition. I expected to feel nothing, just like the NO supplements I had taken before. But this stuff really does work. Even taking below the recommended dose, I could feel the sensation of tighter muscles under the swelling effect of the pump. And the pump lasts for a few hours. It worked for me and I was a skeptic. Check out creatine nitrate by visiting APSNutrition.com today. Try it and you'll be a believer too.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Sega!
Welcome back to Super Human Radio. My guest today is Anthony Roberts. We're talking about football players in general because we have to talk a little bit now about NCAA players because of another blog post you have. It seems like this is not unique to the NFL as far as coaches not focusing on speed and agility when training these guys, but focusing more on strength and power.
Well, you know what, though? I mean, are they... You know, I don't know, but I do know, you know, if you were to go to, you know, a college football team and see what they're up to, you know, you're probably going to see that those guys aren't on the track as much as they're in the weight room.
Anthony, is it, you think the reason for that is that the spectators want to see not necessarily faster, better athletes, but bigger monsters. You know, it comes back to this whole freak attraction that we have in the United States. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, well, that's exactly what we talked about him before, but Tony Mandrich, he was a freak. He was, I mean, he was over 300 pounds.
Right.
And he was agile, you know, just like a monster. He was strong. He just never worked out. He got manhandled in the NFL, and you know, it was
really
a very short career.
I mean, as strong and freakish as he was, he still got manhandled?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, the difference between speed in, and you know, I was reading, it was an interview with a coach, and he was saying the difference, you know, between the NFL and NCAA in terms of speed is huge. I mean, just in terms of a guy who is able to turn the corner in the first division, you know, of the NCAA, you know, who maybe got stopped by the, you know, occasional linebacker who was super quick. Now he's playing against a league of super quick linebackers.
Right.
Who can all get to the play, who can all make the stop, you know. The next level, you know, is more about speed and the ability to, obviously, you know, you're trying to move downfield.
Did you not say that the training manual at the NCAA level, like, pays very little attention to speed and agility as far as...
The Essentials of Strength and Conditioning, which is the National Strength and Conditioning Association textbook, there's, like, one brief chapter on agility, and it's kind of just very lukewarm and sort of like they just wanted to put it in and...
Like an afterthought. Hey, we forgot this. Let's write a couple paragraphs.
Yeah, I mean, you can't really... I mean, it's a good book, but you can't train anyone to get more agile with their agility chapter. You can definitely strength train someone you know, get someone stronger, get someone bigger by following the principles in this textbook. As far as getting somebody, you know, more agile, I don't think there's a single worthwhile sentence in the whole book.
Okay, but in the defense of the book, and obviously I've never read the book, but in the defense of the book, it is called the Strength and Conditioning book. Does conditioning have anything to do with agility?
Well, you know, I would say this. It purports to be the gold standard of strength and conditioning coaches. So if you have a strength and conditioning coach who can't make your team more agile, I think that's a problem, especially if you're working at the university level.
Do you foresee, as a result of a lot of this recent research, both from the NFL level and the NCAA level, do you foresee coaches now redirecting their focus a little bit and going, okay, look, you know, we've got these Sherman tanks that go 4 miles an hour, and we need, you know, Humvees. We need big, strong things that go fast.
You know, it's interesting because they do, you know, the combine obviously is the combine, but they do have teams will invite players for private workouts, and that's really where they put the player through a battery of tests that the team is interested in. And each team is different. So, I mean, I would wonder if at that level where, you know, where they'll invite a quarterback in and have him, whatever, throw the ball, I would wonder if at that level they had very strong indicators of future performance.
Right.
Or if it's just another crapshoot.
Yeah. Yeah. Again,
I mean, I wouldn't know. But, you know, taking the idea and expanding on it, the better you are, okay, at a given thing, the more the variables that will predict performance.
Right.
Drop off in their predictive ability. So let me explain that. If you take a bunch of kids, okay,
right,
who have never, you know, been trained as track athletes, okay, so two 15-year-old kids, and you have them both squat. Okay, odds are, most of the time, the kid who squats more for a one rep max relative to his body weight, odds are he's going to be a better sprinter.
Okay.
Okay, that's pretty obvious, right?
Right.
Okay, but the guy who holds the max body weight squat, which is like something absurd, like 3.5 times his body weight.
Right.
He is not the world's fastest man. He wouldn't even be competitive in a third division NCAA track meet.
So basically, there's a point of diminishing returns. That's all it is, right?
Yeah, it's not diminishing returns. Like the fastest guy, like Usain Bolt, doesn't need to squat. Of course, he needs to squat.
Right.
But if you were to take his squat versus, you know, a mediocre powerlifter, you know, he'd get blown away.
Right. Right.
So
right.
Just that predictive ability just keeps falling off. You know, I mean, if you look at elite athletics versus collegiate and collegiate versus high school, there's much stronger indicators and predictors of performance as you go down the ladder. And once you go up the ladder, not really.
What would you say to NCAA coaches as far as the way they're training their athletes right now? What would you say to them after these observations? What advice?
Well, I would say most of these guys are using essentially combine testing.
They're basically, and that's what I was gonna get at. You know, when you're in a preparatory school, they're preparing you for a vocation, right? So they focus on quite often not only the vocation, but test taking skills. Like,
yeah,
these are the things you got to know to pass the test, not necessarily to do a good job in your field. So aren't NC2A coaches just going, look, you guys got to get through the combine. How you end up playing is important, but you're never going to get you're never going to get invited to the ball if you can't get through the combine. So we're going to train you to pass the combine and not necessarily be a good football player.
Well, I would say NCAA coaches probably, especially in the third division, you know, aren't thinking we need to prepare our players for the combine. I think they're saying, this is how the NFL measures a player.
Right.
So let's measure our players this way, you know, at the start of each year. But the problem is that when you measure your players that way, it doesn't tell you anything about them.
Right.
I mean, so, all right, a useful thing to do, and I did this with rugby, is I took the T-test, right, which is 5 meters forward, 5 to the left, 10 to the right, 5 to the left, 5 backwards. So you're doing a T in running.
Right.
Okay? So it's a measure of agility. It's also a measure of your starting and stopping ability. And what I found was that the kid with the highest score also scored. The kid with the highest score in the T-test typically scored the highest number of tries during the season. He was our halfback.
Wow.
So now I have an idea, and I say, well, okay, so we should – so agility is certainly important. The ability to stop and start within a short area is important. So let's train that. But if I took another – for example, there was no statistical relevance to their ability. I forget the exact distance. I think it was like a 3K, but it was essentially 8 laps around the field at
right.
as fast as you could go.
Right.
So each lap was, you know, I think it was 340 meters times 8, right?
Right.
And one kid was like sub 8 minutes. So like 8 laps around something bigger than a football field in less than 8 minutes.
That's impressive.
But it didn't mean anything. He was a good player, and he was an A-side player. But it didn't translate to anything, really. It didn't. When I looked at the end of the year, like for the things that I think contribute to victories, it told me, you know, very little. It just no. So, I mean, that's, you know, we ditched the test. We stopped doing it. It didn't tell me anything.
All right, let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we'll pick it up with Anthony Roberts. Visit his website, anthonyroberts.info, the source. Now, you know, you call yourself the source for underground steroid information, but I got to be honest with you. I feel like you've outgrown that moniker.
Yeah, you know what? I have. I just can't think of a better thing to write. It says the source on the template for my website. I can't think of a better, you know, thing to put up there. If anyone has any ideas, they can email them to me.
I was just going to say, let's start a contest. Here's the deal. Send your suggestions. We want to change the name of Anthony's website from the source for underground steroid information to something else. And,
well, to the source for something else.
Yeah,
start the source.
No, we're going to stay the source. But get rid of for underground steroid information. What do you think it should be? What would encompass all the things that Anthony writes about? And if you have suggestions, let's have them sent here on air at superhumanradio.com. If your name if your suggestion is selected, I'll come up with like a $200 supplement giveaway package for you. I'll get some of the sponsors to throw some stuff in, okay? So let's try this. If you have a better moniker than the underground steroid for underground steroid information, and you think it's something that would suit Anthony's blog better, send it to onair@superhumanradio.com, and I'll come up with $200 worth of free supplements for you if your name is selected. If your suggestion is selected, and Anthony will choose the one. Okay, Anthony?
Yep.
Okay, stay tuned. We'll be right back. Age Force introduces the first ever nitric oxide booster plus advanced post-workout recovery formula in a two-stage transdermal pack. Stage 1 releases its nitric oxide boosting formula directly into the bloodstream the minute you apply it and continues to deliver a powerful nitric oxide boost during your workout. Stage 2 is delayed time release, so the post-recovery formula starts after your workout. Go to ageforce.com and check out the new pre- and post-workout patch and get 50% off any order with the promo code SHROX. Save 50% when you use coupon code SHROX.
The Isolator will change the way you work out forever. We've all imagined how it would be if there was an apparatus that would eliminate the hands, forearms, biceps, and triceps from training chest, back, and shoulder muscles. Well, now you can with the Isolator. The Isolator does exactly what it says. It allows you to isolate muscles to get a better, more intense workout. And they're so versatile, they work with machines or free weights. You have to see the Isolator to believe it. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Isolator Fitness banner ad today. The Isolator, the only way to train.
Creatine is by far the most popular ergogenic supplement on the market today, bar none. What if I told you that there's an even more
effective way to build explosive strength and that good old creatine was not the answer. Well, now there's Hypergain. Hypergain is completely safe and has zero side effects. In fact, AS Research is so convinced that Hypergain will change the way you feel about creatine that they're willing to give you a free 30-day supply just to prove it. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Hypergain banner ad today. Hypergain. The case against creatine starts now. Mike Mahler is one of the most sought-after teachers in the world of kettlebell training. Whether your goal is greater strength, speed, mental toughness, or fat loss, you'll come away with newfound knowledge. His seminars play to sold-out crowds. Now you can attend one of the most exciting, life-changing strength and conditioning seminars in the world. Seminars are scheduled for Denver, Tacoma, Washington, Washington, D.C., Las Vegas, Hawaii, and Miami. These will not be repeat engagements, so don't miss this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Go to MikeMahler.com today and book your seat. That's Mike, MAHLER.com. Space is very limited.
Branched chain amino acids have been shown to be as powerful as weak anabolic steroids in building muscle and burning fat. BCAAs will increase mitochondria biogenesis and size. The three amino acids in BCAAs pass right from the lining of the stomach directly into the bloodstream and begin flipping the switches for muscle growth immediately. The best BCAAs are at TruePro.com. Unlike others, they mix instantly in water. And you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Go to TruePro.com and get your BCAAs. Muscle and joint pain can slow your progress to a screeching halt. That's why I use Kodiak Chiropractic Cream. Kodiak Cream won't hinder muscle growth while reducing pain and inflammation because Kodiak Cream uses only non-pharmaceutical anti-inflammatory agents proven to halt inflammation and relieve pain instantly. Kodiak Cream is great if you suffer from fibromyalgia or osteoarthritis as well. Get your Kodiak Cream today by clicking the banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Kodiak Cream. It's the only thing I use to manage pain, and you should too.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. You know, here's a perfect example why the tagline for Anthony's website needs to be changed from underground steroid information. Look at this blog post. This is something we talked about on Casual Friday just recently. It's expired, but does that mean it's not good? You're talking about the expiration dates that are forced to be put on supplements and products in general. I would imagine even steroids by the FDA, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
So, I mean, this is an example why, you know, Anthony's writings are just so varied. He goes from the NFL to this. Okay. So what is your opinion of that? I have an opinion. I mean, I use out of date stuff all the time because I'm like, this doesn't know that a year has passed. It's like, how does it know?
I'm very cavalier with this kind of a thing, right? Like for me personally, I'll use like expired, you know, testosterone, whatever. I'm very cavalier about it. But what happened was the U.S. Army, okay, they have vaccinations and, you know, antibiotics and all sorts of stuff, right?
Right.
And they stock up on it. Let's say they buy, like, they run to BJ's and they buy, like, $1 billion worth of antibiotics.
Right.
Okay. Now, when that expires, okay, let's say they use half it. Now we lose $500 million.
Right.
So what they've done is they've had the FDA come in. Mm-hmm. And retest all the lot numbers and re-stamp them with new expiration dates based on the fact that they've lost no potency.
Really?
Yeah.
So
is that mind-blowing?
So they're renewing it by just changing the date on it. That's all.
The FDA comes in. They say, all right, you know, you have 100 lots. We're going to take one or however many. You know,
yeah, 10%.
Let's say 10% lot number.
Right.
We're going to make sure that they're still potent, and the FDA stipulates, I believe, that it's within 5%.
Okay.
Either way.
Right.
They come in, they retest them, they say, okay, you know, it's good, there's no bacteria growth. Bang, put a new expiration date on it, you got another 3 years.
So, I mean, but the magic here is that the FDA is actually testing it. Let's be honest. I mean, they're evaluating.
The magic here is this. the magic here is that these same drug companies, where the FDA comes in and tests for the Army,
right?
These same drug companies, when they put it on the shelf at Walmart or wherever, they're saying to you, if you don't use this in 3 years,
throw it away.
You need to throw it out. Now, what does that do? That improves their bottom line.
Sure.
In fact, they should put a one-month expiration date on everything. I mean,
That would make them even more money, exactly.
Yeah, use this aspirin by 1 month. They actually, a scientist, I forget from what university, took expired aspirin. I think it might have even been Bayer. 4 years after it was produced, and it was still fine.
So the reality is, and okay, let's talk about something like testosterone.
Yeah, like not milk.
Right.
Like we're not talking about milk.
Right. But let's talk about something like testosterone for a second.
Yep.
Most testosterone preparations have a 2 year shelf life when they're manufactured, correct?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah,
okay.
2 years, I think. Two or three.
So theoretically, what does it convert to after 2 years if it starts going bad?
Satan juice? I don't know. Nothing.
See, that's what I'm
baffled
about.
I mean, it doesn't
convert,
like, per se, it wouldn't. I think the idea is that it would now, you know, either develop bacteria would be one thing, but I don't understand. It's sterile.
It's sterile, and it's
sealed environment.
And it's airtight, so there's no oxygen in there. And it has several bacteriostatic agents in it. So I don't understand. You're right. I don't understand the whole shelf life concept. And I've always thought, like you said, that shelf life is designed to get people to throw things away so they have to buy more on products that usually would last a long time.
And how would it help, for example, how would it help Bayer if they, you know, socked away, you know, a couple thousand bottles of their aspirin
right
for 10 years, tested them, and said, you know what, FDA? We want to stamp a 10-year expiration date on this.
Yeah, they'll go out of business.
How would that help them? That wouldn't help them at all.
They'll go out of business.
The worst thing in the world.
They'll go out of business. It means that you buy a bottle of Bayer aspirins and you save them for 10 years. You buy, so over that 10-year period, you probably buy a half a dozen bottles of Bayer aspirin at least.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, the stuff is, you know, and I'm sure there's areas, right, where there would be more potential for bacterial growth. Like, I'm thinking, like, an IV bag of glucose. You know what I mean? Something where
right.
bacteria is going to want to grow on this glucose. You know what I mean?
But let's talk about other things that don't necessarily bacteria isn't the issue. Aren't we talking about degradation of the active ingredient?
Well, let's say that, you know, there is a loss of potency. So instead of a 200, you know, milligram shot of testosterone, you're taking 190.
Right, 107, even 107.
Does that mean you throw it out, though? I mean, I don't think so.
No, absolutely not.
And again, there's other things, you know, where you just say, okay, you know, this might be a high risk, but for anabolic steroids, I doubt it. I can't imagine, you know, anything sort of
would
happening.
Would the same be true for orals, for tabs, in an open bottle, for instance?
Yeah, and you know what? The stomach acids, you know, that are in your body are really, it's not like the food we eat is sterile. I don't know why people think that.
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
I mean, you know, obviously, you know, you take a tab of something, you don't really expect it to be sterile per se. I mean, food isn't sterile.
Right.
You know?
It's no more sterile than a McDonald's cheeseburger, which is not handled in a sterile aseptic environment. So.
No, and I always think it's odd. You know, the FDA makes this argument and they say, we found, you know, this underground lab, steroid lab, they were making things in an unsterile environment. And my argument is always this. They have this bottle, and the bottle, you know, they add an antiseptic agent, something that kills bacteria
like
after
like,
production.
Benzyl
alcohol.
Benzyl
whatever.
Alcohol, there you go.
Okay, they add it after it's produced, and that kills bacteria. So
right.
The fact that the environment was, you know, wasn't sterile obviously isn't ideal. But the FDA's conclusion is, therefore, they were selling an unsterile product, and that's not true at all. Underground labs, just because they might have an unsterile environment, doesn't necessarily lead to the conclusion that their product is not sterile.
Right.
So that's, and the other thing I always say to people is they say, I wouldn't put anything in my body that, you know, that was in this unsterile environment. I put contact lenses in my eyes. That's not a sterile environment. They sit in a tub of essentially salt water overnight.
Right, right. And even though
in my
they
bathroom.
Have, and even though those preparations that we soak our lenses in have some antibacterial, antimicrobial agents in them, all that goes out the window the minute you put it on your unwashed fingertip and put it in your eye.
Well, I'll do you one better. You know, they say, oh, it was bathtub brew. All right, where do you keep your contact lenses?
In the bathroom.
You keep them in the bathroom. Where do you keep your contact lens washing solution?
Yeah.
In the bathroom. What is it in? A 500 mil jug.
Right.
That lasts like half a year open in your bathroom that you put in your eyes.
Right. Right.
So, yeah, every time the FDA makes that argument, I have two responses. One is, you know, you're full of it. And two is, okay, what did your tests show? What did the test you performed on this quote-unquote unsterile dirty drug, what level of bacterial contamination did you find? Oh, you didn't do the test. You've never done the test. Awesome.
Right.
They've literally never done these tests.
To determine whether or not there was... But they would say they don't have to do it because it doesn't change anything for them.
It's a losing proposition.
Yeah.
Because they either say, oh, this thing we've been saying with, you know, unsupported with no data for a decade or two, we finally got the data that supports us, they gain nothing. Or they lose, you know, their position by saying, oh, oops, it was sterile.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not saying there's no unsterile, you know, underground lab preparations out there.
Yeah, because people have gotten abscesses, but we don't know if they got abscesses from reusing syringes or from the preparations that they were using or from something that was on their skin when they were injecting.
Improper injection technique. I mean,
like, for instance, let me ask you this.
Yep.
There are a lot of people out there who now buy their syringes from pet supply houses that supply.
That's where we used to get them back in the day, too.
Right. I mean, so that now, and they're sterile, right? They're made for animals. Are they any less? Are they any less sharp? Are they any less sterile? Are they any created in a different environment than those made for humans?
You know, I would actually suspect they're created in the same building.
Right.
To be really honest,
by the same companies who are just changing the labels on them. Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
I mean, how many, put it like this, you go to a hospital, right, where you are, go to a hospital, where I am, I'll go to a hospital, everyone out there, go to a hospital, what brand of needles do you see? You see B&D.
B&D.
Period. Now, do you think B&D has one factory where they make only B&D, or do you think they subcontract, or do you think there's other stuff going on? I mean, I just can't imagine that there's, you know, that there's one factory specializing in B&D that doesn't make needles for anyone else.
Right. Right. No, I agree. I agree. Let's take our last commercial break. When we come back, we're going to change things up a little bit. I want to ask you some questions about some things that we've never talked about before. I want to get your opinion on where you stand as an individual on things like genetically modified foods and stuff like that. We're talking with Anthony Roberts. You can learn more about Anthony by going to his blog, which is anthonyroberts.info. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com. Nowhere is performance enhancement more important than in the bedroom. That's why I use VIP from Geared Up Nutrition. VIP is a blend of herbal and botanical agents that maximize pleasure and performance. And it works for women too. In fact, VIP is so good you'll swear it's pharmaceutical. But it's not. And best of all, you only need one capsule about an hour before you're about to get passionate, and VIP works for up to 3 days. You can get VIP by going to VeryIntensePleasure.com. Try it once and you'll buy it again and again.
veryintensepleasure.com.
From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com.
If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to try them today.
Branched-chain amino acids have been shown to be as powerful as weak anabolic steroids in building muscle and burning fat. BCAAs will increase mitochondria biogenesis and size. The 3 amino acids in BCAAs pass right from the lining of the stomach directly into the bloodstream and begin flipping the switches for muscle growth immediately. The best BCAAs are at TrueProtein.com. Unlike others, they mix instantly in water. And you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Go to TrueProtein.com and get your BCAAs.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter, urethane series power blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power Block, the world's best dumbbells.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
And don't forget, now Power Blocks go all the way up to 175 pounds per hand. Check out the new Power Block Urethane Series. They go from 5 to 175 pounds a hand. Are you man enough to order 175-pound dumbbells? Wow, I don't know. I don't think I could use those. I guess I got to use one with both hands. There you go. Anyway, we're talking with Anthony Roberts. His blog is anthonyroberts.info. Anthony, you and I have never had this kind of discussion, but I'm amazed by a lot of the stuff that you write about. You know, I've always thought you were a very, very deep thinker. I know that you're a multifaceted person. I was amazed to hear that you make your own ginger ale when we were doing a blog post and talking about making your own ginger ale on the show.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you never cease to amaze me in the things that you're into. Where do you stand on genetically modified foods? How do you feel about them? Are you cavalier about them, like, it's no big deal? Or do you think that they're something that people should stay away from?
You know, in a lot of cases, when you look at something like, well, first of all, what are the benefits? They'll make this argument, we can, you know, feed the world. We can feed the world now. So that argument's kind of stupid. The other sort of argument is, you know, that it provides some superior whatever. I find that research to be even less compelling. It's like, we're creating fish with higher levels of fat. But, okay, you know, do we need that? Is that worth the potential risk, you know?
Right.
And, you know, the other thing is, like, until cows stop effing each other, why do we need beef from some mutant cow that we create in the lab?
Right, right.
Like, cows like banging. Just let them go out and bang, and they'll make more cows. I mean, if that's I don't eat meat personally.
Right.
But
I didn't know that.
Saying,
you don't.
There,
eat,
there's
you don't,
no need for
you don't,
it.
You don't eat beef, or you don't eat chicken.
No.
You eat chicken?
Nope.
You don't eat fish.
I do eat fish.
Okay, so are you like a lacto-ovo, what's the proper word for fish, Anthony?
That would be a pescatarian.
Pescatarian? Are you a pescatarian?
No, I do consume dairy.
Okay.
I don't eat red meat, I don't eat, or fowl.
How about eggs?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're a lacto-ovo-pescatarian. How do you like that? There we
yes.
go. We have one now. Why did you give up meat? Is it did not agree with you, or do you have a spiritual belief?
Okay, a couple things. It doesn't agree with me. I mean, the last time I had it, I felt awful, and it was steak, and it was from Peter Luger's in the city.
Great steakhouse, man. I know.
Yeah, I think it's in Brooklyn, I think.
Yeah.
Peter Luger's in Brooklyn. So, I mean, if people want to say didn't have good steak, that's great steak.
Best steakhouse in the world, I would say. They age their steaks on their property. People come from all over the world to go to Peter Luger's.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah,
it's the most ridiculous steakhouse in the world.
Right.
Well, so that was the last time I had meat, and even that didn't. I felt awful. So it's just a matter of, you know, it doesn't agree with me.
So you listen to your body and you eat in harmony with your metabolism. Then we just did a show about this. This is great stuff. Okay, so you don't eat meat. Why not chicken? Chicken does the same thing to you.
It just doesn't do anything for me. You know, there's no
satisfaction, you know, in eating it.
Yeah, and I, you know, I get my protein from generally not much fish either. I really try to. This is kind of maybe an odd thing to say. I do try to minimize my impact on the biosphere in general.
Yeah, I got you.
Like I try not to, you know, like bodybuilders. Oh, I you know, during my pre-contest, I have, you know, 7 meals of skirt steak. Yeah, that's kind of in line with a very different attitude than I think my own, you know?
Right, right. And Mike Mahler's like that. You know, Mike doesn't eat. He's a vegetarian by choice.
He's a vegan, actually.
Yeah, he's a vegan by choice.
Yeah.
Because he feels spiritually that it's not proper to kind of prey on animals for whatever reason.
Yeah, I think I think there's a lot of good arguments, you know, like Peter Singer's arguments for being a vegetarian.
What is his argument for being a vegetarian?
It'd take a while to get into, but he's a utilitarian, basically, and he thinks we should, you know, minimize pain in the world.
Okay. All right. I can buy that. I can buy that. So as far as you're concerned, the arguments for GMO really line up on the side of the manufacturers and the growers would benefit from it, not the people, so you don't like it.
No, yeah, it's like I said, there just doesn't seem to be much of an advantage. And I think Americans, I think I read that we consume 3,000 calories per person.
Right.
And people, you know, love to make this genetically modified argument. They appeal to us, you know, on this very human level where they say, well, we could feed the world.
Yeah.
You know, but like I said, we could feed the world. And it's not like these companies who are creating, you know, whatever, fatty fish, like fish with extra fat in them. It's not like they're shipping them to Botswana.
Yeah, right, or Biafra, or any of these countries that are suffering. They're selling them into...
a premium.
Right.
They're not, you know, so the argument is kind of silly. I mean, would it be great to feed the world? Yeah, it would be great. But these companies who are creating... You know, 3,000-pound cows are selling them to Peter Luger's. They're not.
Yeah.
They're not sending them off to, you know, Benin or whatever.
Right, right, right. And you know, the other argument that I would like people to be aware of, and that they have to keep in the back of their mind, is we don't know what the effects on our health are yet of these genetically modified foods that we're being told is safe by the FDA. You know, we don't know. We do. Actually, that's not true. We do know that some of them don't work well with people. You know, the linings of their stomachs are affected, and there's lots of biological changes.
Well, look what happened. Look what happened with the ester fish oil, right? The improved fish oil doesn't work as well as regular fish oil.
What's it called?
Lavaza.
Yeah, Lavaza. Right. Right.
It just doesn't work as well.
Right. Right.
So, you know. And like I said, there was no need to try and improve fish oil.
No. But they can't. It always comes back to profits. It has nothing to do with what's best for people. They couldn't patent. If a company like Merck wanted to sell fish oil and they said, hey, this is fish oil, but it's $600 a bottle instead of $35 a bottle at your health food store, people will go, well, I'll just buy it at the health food store. So they're like, oh, well, we can't sell it.
So they have to modify it in some way, shape, or form to make it unique and then try to sell the notion that this modified version is better. So they do some isolated study that is slanted in such a way to make it look like theirs is better.
Well, that's, you know, and that's the thing, too. I mean, I, you know, when you're talking about people's health, you know, I don't think that's a moral thing or an ethical thing to do. But in other cases, I mean, you'll see some, you know, real garbage, you know, sports nutrition company selling some product, and they do like a bunk study, right?
Right.
But here's the thing. That 18-year-old kid who takes the supplement does get results. Whether it's placebo or not, my thought is this. Do we care? If you say to me, you're going to put 20 pounds on your bench this month, but it's going to be placebo, why would I care?
Right.
Like, I don't understand. Like, I don't know. I don't know if there's some sort of, you know, higher level of outrage I should have. But if you put, you know, 20 pounds on my bench, that's fine with me. You know, I might feel a little bit silly when I find out, you know, it was a placebo.
Right.
But
right.
I can still bench 20 pounds more.
Right.
And when we buy supplements, not stuff like, you know, Levesita trying to control, you know, blood pressure or whatever, cholesterol.
Right.
When we buy supplements, we're really trying to buy a result.
Right.
I mean, if you buy, you know, Tribulus and you think it's going to cure your erectile dysfunction, and it does, and, you know, really it was just, you know, placebo effect, do you really care?
No.
Yeah, I mean, you bought the result. You didn't, you know, that's how I look at it.
Yeah, that's a good point. Really, really good point. Anthony, what do you got coming up? Well, first of all, whatever happened to the book?
October, I'm sorry.
Gen S.
Yep, coming out in October still.
Okay, good, okay. Did you have to do a lot of rewrites? Your editor wants you to do some rewrites in it or something?
No, I had to go back and, you know, and provide
foundational proof for a lot of the things that were...
Yeah, just, you know, and some stuff that dealt with some more litigious people that are mentioned.
Right.
You know, if there was no proof, and the standard of proof that they were asking for in the beginning was very high, like on the level of, I went to this place with this guy, and they're like, can you prove it? I'm like, I can't prove I had a, you know, tuna sandwich for lunch.
Right.
I can't prove it. But, you know, so we had to work through some of those sticking points.
Like you had to obtain videos of from stores that showed you walked in and bought a hamburger. You know?
Yeah, it was, at first, you know, I thought that the standard was, you know, just a bit high. And, you know, in terms of at least libel, you have to prove, you know, what you're saying. So it's not up to the person to prove that you libeled them. You have to, as far as I understand it, at least, you know, my publisher is Canadian. In Canadian law, you have to prove that what you're saying is true. They don't have to prove you untrue.
Right.
So the burden of proof, you know, would
lies
lie with
on
me.
You. So, okay, yeah. So you had a lot of work to do. So October of this year, it'll be released, huh?
Yep.
Cool. Very, very cool.
Yeah, I'm actually, I'm working on some articles with Brian McKenzie over at CrossFit Endurance.
I was just going to say, you're writing articles for CrossFit now, too, right?
Yeah, just some stuff that, you know, interests me and interests Brian that you know, there was a common ground and we sort of said, all right.
One of them you shared with me, well, actually a couple of them you shared with me, but one of them I want to have you on the show when you release the article because I want to announce the article on this show. I think it's very intriguing, very insightful. It was one of those things that when you talked about it, I was like, that makes a lot of sense. I never thought about that before.
You know, and to me, that's the thing, like I always say that sports science is the history of sports, not... Yeah. They're not breaking new ground. They're saying stuff that coaches have observed.
Right.
And that's the approach, you know, Brian and I have taken where we just say, like, here's this thing that we've looked at and we've observed, and then we'll say, all right, can we find some studies or some data that's going to back us up?
Right, right.
So, you know, we sort of just say, we know this is true. Because we've seen it a million times. Now let's see if sports science has figured it out.
Hey, Anthony, always great to have you on the show, brother.
Always great to be on the show.
All right, listen, we'll talk to you again soon, okay?
Great.
Visit anthonyroberts.info. And if you have a better tagline for Anthony's website, please Get in touch with us through onair@superhumanradio.com. He currently has for underground steroid information, but Anthony is a multifaceted human being, as you can see, just by talking to him about some of these off-topic issues. And I think that that's really narrow. It pigeonholes what Anthony does. If you have a suggestion and he uses your suggestion, I'll give you $200 worth of free supplement products from some of our sponsors. Send it to onair@superhumanradio.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back and I'll wrap up the show. Introducing AgeForce Testo 100, the first testosterone booster in a transdermal time-release patch. Produced in FDA-certified labs, Testo 100 bypasses digestion and delivers its testosterone-boosting formula directly into the bloodstream. That's a huge advantage over oral testosterone supplements. Testo 100 patches raise testosterone levels throughout the day to elevate libido, energy, and maximize muscle-building, fat-burning effects without suppressing normal testosterone production. For a limited time, Superhuman Radio listeners can save 50% off Testo 100 by going to AgeForce.com and using the coupon code SHR4. Don't wait. Go to AgeForce.com and use code SHR4 and save 50% now.
Your shaker bottle is the most important tool in meal planning. The convenience in being able to take a ready-to-drink meal on the road is a necessity. Too often our shaker bottle backfires on us, making what should be a convenience a disaster. Shaker Pro is the only shaker bottle in the world with a separate chamber to keep your protein powder dry until you're ready to mix it. Shaker Pro's patented design ensures that all of your powders will blend completely. Shaker Pro is BPA free. Go to forsportlife.com today. That's the number 4, sportlife.com. Nowhere is performance enhancement more important than in the bedroom. That's why I use VIP from Geared Up Nutrition. VIP is a blend of herbal and botanical agents that maximize pleasure and performance. And it works for women too. In fact, VIP is so good you'll swear it's pharmaceutical. But it's not. And best of all, you only need one capsule about an hour before you're about to get passionate, and VIP works for up to 3 days. You can get VIP by going to veryintensepleasure.com. Try it once and you'll buy it again and again. veryintensepleasure.com. Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at ironmaglabs.com. Don't wait too long because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to ironmaglabs.com today. 6-Oxo is back thanks to Iron Mag Lab, the gold standard for testosterone boosting and estrogen reduction that all other over-the-counter aromatase inhibitors are compared to, is 6-oxoprogesterone. 6-oxo is the active ingredient in the new E-Control RX from Iron Mag Labs. Iron Mag Labs has resurrected the beast that has been clinically shown to raise free testosterone by as much as 226%. As men age, estrogen rises and testosterone drops. E-Control RX can help reverse this from happening. E-Control RX is suitable for post-cycle therapy to jumpstart natural testosterone production. Get E-Control RX today. Go to ironmaglabs.com today.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
Out here in the perimeter, there are no stars. Out here, we is stoned, immaculate.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. You know, last week I took off Casual Friday. Elisa and I needed a day off, and it was really kind of unplanned. A couple days before Casual Friday, we decided that we really, really have been working very, very hard, and we wanted to take some time off, so we did, and we took off on Friday, and we just played a little bit. I reran an old show, but this Friday, we have a fantastic Casual Friday planned for you. Lots of really, really great information. And Elisa has been working on it since last week, actually. Right after we took off on Friday, we just took some of the stuff that we had saved up for Casual Friday that we didn't use last week, and plus some new stuff, and we're going to be talking about it this Friday. Tomorrow we got
a couple really good shows for you. Finally have Bryant Stanford coming on to talk about blood test ranges, reference ranges, what is healthy versus optimal versus normal. And then second half of the show, we have a fellow named Jim Dugan coming on. Jim is a champion drug-free powerlifter, a strongman, who is also a firefighter. And we're going to be talking about the responsibility of first responders to stay in shape, to stay strong. These are the guys who really need to be strong. You don't want a fireman coming up the ladder to get you out of a burning building when he's obese and huffing and puffing and you're thinking, oh, man, I may want to just take my chances in the burning building because this guy's going to drop me. So Jim is going to be on the show, and we're going to be talking about how he uses a lot of his training to translate over to the job. And I'm hoping that this show is listened to by a lot of firefighters. I wanted to do a show like this for police officers, but I'm having a hard time finding a police officer who will come forth and talk about this sort of stuff. So these are the guys that really need it the most. I mean, they're like warriors. You know, anybody who rushes into a burning building needs to be strong, needs to have fantastic conditioning, needs to be on top of his game. Let's face it. He's not delivering newspapers. He's saving lives, and he's putting his own life in harm's way. So we got a great show for you tomorrow, and we have a great Casual Friday planned for you this Friday. So please listen live, and we'll see you then. Up to the minute news and more. Join the Superhuman Radio listener mail list. Go to superhumanradio.com and join.